right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm excited about being here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and be finding the book of Luke chapter number 15. And while you're finding your place, let me remind you, we're looking at these parables, power-packed parables that Jesus told. These earthly stories that carried the greatest and the most profound heavenly truths. You know, profundity travels best in simplicity. And Jesus, the master teacher that he was, knew that if you're going to be profound, you must be simple while doing it. And Jesus would tell these simple stories. And Jesus would convey these great and profound truths. He was always seeking to get our heads up. We are so completely myopic, nearsighted, we can't see very far. And Jesus was always calling us to see that this is not all there is. And he came to demonstrate who God the Father is. You've not seen God. No man has seen God at any time, the Bible says. But the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has come to demonstrate him, to explain him. In every miracle he did, in every sermon he preached, in every lesson he taught, he was simply trying to get people to see what God wanted them to see. That's why we come to church, to be reminded of things we believe. I love that, Pastor Ann, to be reminded, to remember the things we believe. And so today I want you to look at this parable and the whole passage now, the whole chapter. There's a lot to talk about today, all right? And I'll do it as best I can in as short a time as I can. Now, I'm talking today on the subject of lost and found. Chapter 15 in the book of Luke is about lost and found. In every story, in or every facet of this, I believe, one story, Jesus is talking about something that is valuable, that has been lost, sought, and found. And I say that there are facets to this story because I believe Jesus tells one story in this passage about something that has value, that has been lost, it was sought, and it was found. And so this morning at this service, we're going to look at the first two facets of this particular story. Look with me now at verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 15 as I read from the ESV. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now I put right there in my Bible next to that, amen. Amen. So, he told them this parable. This simple little story means to cast alongside. He told this story to get a point across. He told this parable. What man of you, it comes in question form. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons. Now watch this, who need no repentance. You see those air quotes there, right? Who need no repentance. Well, look at verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Something that is lost, that has value, sought, and found. This is a story about repentance and restoration and rejoicing. Repentance, restoration, and rejoicing. Now, here are the first two facets of this story. And I want you to notice now, in this passage, there is a convergence upon Jesus. There are two groups, and I'm telling you, they were opposites that converged upon Jesus. The Bible tells us that the tax collectors and the sinners were there. Right? The tax collectors and the sinners were there. We talked about a tax collector last night. These were the scoundrels. Nobody in Israel liked the tax collectors. They were the scum. They were Jewish people working for the oppressive Roman government, and the Jewish walking around Jewish people didn't like these people. They were liars. They were cheats. They were the scum of the earth. All those things that we would say about them. And the sinners, just your B-flat, regular old sinners, irreverent people who didn't care and didn't regard God very much, just walking around basic B-flat sinners. The publicans or the that's what the King James called them, publicans, not Republicans, publicans. The tax collectors and the sinners. But now, not only that, but the scribes and the Pharisees were there. Now, these were the people who, as I said last night, were on the top of the religious food chain. These were the people who the average walking around Jew thought if anybody is going to heaven, it would be these people who were the recorders and the people who maintained the law and did all of the recording, the scribes, and these Pharisees, the straightest and the strictest of all of the religious sects in that day. So now watch this. You had the people who were on the bottom rung, and you had people on the top rung. And there is this convergence upon Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to hear him. Now listen, it tells us why these people over here came. They came to hear him. The last thing Jesus had said in chapter number 14, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Have you ever thought about this? How you hear is connected to the kind of heart you have. You know, you don't hear with your ears, you really hear with your heart. Yeah, honey, the ear bone's connected to the heart bone. How you see. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The eye bone's connected to the heart bone. And how you see is related to the kind of heart you have. Unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And when it talks about the kingdom of God, it's not talking about seeing God in the sky by and by when I die. It's not talking about seeing God someday. It's talking about seeing God today. When your heart is right, you can see God today. You can see what God is doing today. So the ear bone's connected to the heart bone, and the eye bone's connected to the heart bone, and the mouth bone's connected to the heart bone. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My mouth is a microphone to my heart. Yeah, and what's down in the well is bound to come up in the bucket sooner or later. So the stuff I say, listen, if I'm walking and I've got a glass of milk and you jostle me, milk's coming out. If it's tea, tea's coming out. If it's water, water's coming out. What I'm saying is what comes out of you proves what's in you. Did that get in? So Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's all connected to the heart. And so the Bible says that these sinners and the tax collectors, they came to hear Jesus. So good. So far, so good for them. That's right. But now, the Bible says that the scribes and the Pharisees grumbled, and that's why they were there. Whenever you saw the scribes and the Pharisees converge upon Jesus, they did not come to hear what he had to say and to yield to what he had to say. They came to monitor conformity. They came to find out. Watch this. Every time you see Jesus in the scriptures, you see him moving around and there are people around him, you can be sure that there were at least three kinds of people in the group. Here they are. The serious, the curious, and the furious. The serious ones who are there to hear what God is saying to them and learn. The curious ones who are not necessarily signed up yet, but they want to see what he might do. And then there were the furious ones. The ones who were angry with Jesus. And I want you to know that the Pharisees and these scribes, they were there and they were furious because they grumbled. The old King James said murmured. Murmur. I love that. That's kind of like one of those onopia, mono, you know those Batman words, bang, pow, pop, whiz. You remember Batman? Murmur. That's the sound is made when people have a spoken and sort of hushed talk. Murmur. It's behind the hand. It's loud enough to be heard, but not loud enough to be understood by everybody. Just a whispering campaign is what it is. And they have a whispering campaign. So Jesus told this story, one story, with different facets. The first part of the story I've read in your hearing. He talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. Which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one? See, to a shepherd, a sheep is valuable. A good shepherd would give his very life for the sheep, Jesus said. David went after a lion and a bear for one sheep. So a shepherd loves his sheep. He knows them. He names them. He knows. They know him. They know his voice. Now watch. Which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he should lose one? He doesn't say, well, I've got 99 more. No, sir. He says, I've lost this one, and he'll leave the 99 and go after the one. Why? Because it has value to the shepherd. And so watch this. He is teaching now. Jesus is teaching. He wants us to know something. This is why he told the story. These grumbling Pharisees over here. Jesus is saying, hey, which of you, having 100, would leave the 99 or wouldn't leave the 99 and go after one until he finds it? Now, here's a sheep. And by the way, when God calls a sheep and he does, y'all know that ain't no compliment. Right? I mean, and let's face it now, sheep are not smart, swift, or strong. We are no match for a lion or a wolf or a tiger or a bear. So now watch this. Sheep, for the most part, are directionless. If they get lost, honey, they lost. Ain't no, you know, they don't have migratory instincts and they don't know how to get back. If they lost, they are lost. And they're getting lost in the craziest way. You know, a sheep will put his head down and nibble itself right away from the shepherd, right off a cliff. It'll nibble itself right into thickets. Such is the nature of sheep. They are directionless. They are defenseless. They have no claws. They have no ability to flee. They're not directionless, defenseless, and quite frankly, dumb. And the Lord says, you're my sheep. Because we are directionless. We are defenseless in and of ourselves. And we are dumb. The only thing that our sheep has going for it is its proximity to the shepherd. The shepherd, you see. And so here's a sheep, and he has gotten away, and he's lost. Which man of you wouldn't leave the 99 and go after that one? And he seeks, and he seeks, and he seeks, and he seeks, and there the sheep is somewhere far off, far off away from the shepherd, far off from the 99 and the four, way out yonder in the thicket, in some precarious place, in danger. And the shepherd who loves the sheep puts himself in jeopardy to go find the one. He hazards himself. He puts his life on the line for that one. And he goes out and he searches and he searches and he looks until he finds it. And he finds it and he rescues it. And he doesn't say, "You dumb sheep, get back to the fold." No, he didn't say that. He takes, now listen, this is Jesus telling the story. This means something. He's a good shepherd. Aren't you glad he doesn't treat us that way? He doesn't berate us. He doesn't say, "Why, you dumb sheep, how'd you get out here anyhow? I should have let you stay out here. Why didn't you come out here in the first place?" He doesn't do that. Oh boy, he takes this sheep, this lost sheep, this sheep that has value to him, and he places the sheep upon his shoulders. And he takes responsibility for bringing the sheep back. Amen? And he brings it all the way back to the comfort, brings them all the way back to the company of the fold, all the way back to a place of safety and security. He brings the sheep all the way back. But that's not all. He's given us an indication of the Father's heart. He says, he gives him back. He says, I want to tell you something. He calls his friends. He said, "Hey, you remember you've been praying with me about that sheep? You remember I told you about that sheep? Oh, my heart's been broken about that one sheep." He said, "Hey, I went out, I searched, and I found him." And he gets together with his neighbors and friends, and they rejoice. That's rejoicing. As you might imagine that there would be a rejoicing in the midst of shepherds over one of their friends who finds a sheep that was lost. Man, we're happy for you. And there is a rejoicing. It's shared and it's authentic and it's real. And Jesus says, just like you can imagine there is rejoicing in that situation, I'm telling you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Amen. Over one sinner. See, that's the thing I love about the Word of God and the thing I love about my Jesus. You know, the major religions of the world major on the masses. Oh, God is a God of the individual. Oh, thank God he loves the people. He looked at the masses and he wept because they were like sheep having no shepherd. But I want to tell you something. God is not just about the sheep. He's about a sheep. God is a God who knows you personally. The Most High God is the Most Nigh God. And the Infinite God is an intimate God who knows you and you and you and you and you. And he knows me. And he's concerned about you and you and you and you. And he's concerned about me. That's who he is. That's what Jesus is conveying in this story. And all the rejoicing because the sheep is here. And Jesus says, just like that, there's rejoicing over one. You ever notice that? It's one Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, a religious man in all of his regalia and steeped in all of his religiosity. Jesus met with him that night. One woman over in chapter number 4 by the well. One man at Bethesda's pool in chapter number 5. One little boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves in chapter number 6. One woman taken in the act of adultery in chapter number 8. One born blind man. One Lazarus that Jesus left. Hey, one sheep. God is a God of the individual. We can take that away from this story. Oh, the rejoicing over one. It was lost. Oh, it had value. You know you have value to God. Do you know that lost people have value to God? Oh, God, may God give us a heart like his heart to value the lost like he values the lost. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners have value to God. Well, he says, either what woman? Here's the second facet of this. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, first it was sheep. By the way, the man had 100 sheep. He loses one. He doesn't say, well, I've got 99 more. He goes after the one. Here's a woman have 10 pieces of silver. I don't know whether this is a wedding dowry, whether this was some inheritance. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was a string of coins or maybe these 10 pieces of silver. And the lesson is that these things had value to her. Monetary value, sentimental value, but valuable to her. And in this story, hey, what woman having 10 pieces, if she loses one, see, something is lost. Something of value is lost. She doesn't light a candle. She doesn't get a broom and she doesn't sweep. Imagine, now, just let your mind work on this. This little woman somewhere in some little dusty, down some dusty lane in this place where Jesus is. Can imagine just a regular run-of-the-mill girl, but she's got these coins and they have value to her and she loses a piece. Oh, can't you imagine? Oh, she lights that house up. She gets that broom and she sweeps and she sweeps and she sweeps and she looks and she looks and she looks and she sweeps and she looks. Oh, that light. And by the way, this would have infuriated even more these Pharisees, because he's likening God to a woman. I mean, he uses a woman. Who would have thunk it? Whoever would have thunk it? That Jesus would use a woman and her heart and her passion to illustrate how God is. But Jesus himself did it. Jesus says to Jerusalem, like a hen that's gathered its brood under its wings. Jesus did it. Jesus talked about that. Oh, that was an affront. But Jesus went there. I bet they were thinking, oh, no, he ain't. Jesus went there. This woman, she's got 10 pieces of silver. She loses one. Man, she sweeps that house. She's looked. And there is this coin. Now, this silver piece. And watch this now. When something is lost, it is out of its place. It's not enjoying its privileges. It's out of its possession. I mean, it's lost. And this thing is lost. And watch this. Just like a man, just like a woman, here it is, made to be in possession. It has value, and it is fallen. That's what the Bible teaches about mankind, fallen. It's fallen somewhere. It's in a dark, dirty place, debris-covered place, with the image of the king stamped on it. It's lost. And that's how lost people are. They are in some dark and dirty place away from God. And yes, the Imago Dei, the image of God is on them. And they are lost from their position and lost from their privileges and lost from possession. But she lights that place up and she goes to sweep it. And man, on one of those swipes under the table, the coffee table, whatever you can imagine this, boy, that coin rolls out there. Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, now imagine, boy, she'd go and get on the telephone if they had telephone. And she called her sister girls. And she said, child, yeah, you know that piece I told y'all lost? Yeah, what about it? I found it. Ah, you found it! And they rejoice. You can imagine those girls having a hissy and they're just dancing around and rejoicing and praising God that this one piece that she had that had value was lost. She sought it and she sought it and she sought it until she found it. And She called her friends and they rejoiced. And Jesus says now, just like that, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repents. Oh, how the Father rejoices over a sinner who recognizes that they are lost and they repent. Here are the sinners and the tax collectors crowding in to Jesus. They are realizing that they are bankrupt. They are there to hear his word. And many of them, I'm sure, like Zacchaeus, came with repentant hearts, like Mary Magdalene. These people from only God in heaven knows where. Gripped by only God in heaven knows what. Here they are flooding into Jesus, and these are the people over here grumbling. And so Jesus tells this one story, and he tells it in three parts. Here are the two parts. Here's what he's getting at. Here's what Jesus is teaching in these two parts. They go together. The sheep that was lost represents this crowd over here. Lost. There ain't no doubt they're lost. They are way out yonder lost. There ain't no doubt about it. They out in the thicket. They out in some precarious place. There's no doubt. Everybody knows they're lost. Everybody knows they're away from the Father. Everybody knows they're away from the shepherd. They're lost, 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 lost. Jesus tells that first facet of the story. It represents these people over here. Then Jesus tells the story about this woman and these 10 pieces of silver, one is lost. That represents the Pharisees and the religious muckety-mucks of that day. Just as lost, but they are in the house lost. Did you get it? Far lost and near lost. But honey, loss is loss. Loss way out yonder and loss right in the house. And they had that situation when they converged upon Jesus. Jesus is dealing with lost people on this side and lost people on this side. The thing is, the lost people on this side were lost and suspected that they were lost. And they came to hear what Jesus had to say. And here are the people over here who came, who did not feel they needed to repent of anything. And I hate to think this and I hate to say it, but it's true that maybe even today in a service like this, there are people, maybe you came because you are a curious one and you know you are lost. You know you are. You know you're not right with God today. You're way out yonder lost and only God knows, and you know that. But just like that, there may be people in here today, you are lost. You stay in the house of God. You come to church. You do the right thing. You're a rule keeper. You've been raised to come to church. You've been raised to, you've got good virtues and all of those things, and yet you are lost. And this simple little story is to teach you that the lost, you have value to God. And it's his will that you would repent. The word repent means to have a change of mind, to change your thinking, And maybe you've been thinking, maybe somebody in here today, you've been thinking, God couldn't save me. People don't know what I've done. Nobody know what I've done. Nobody know what I struggle with. God couldn't possibly, I couldn't possibly have value to God. And you need to repent. You need to see that you are precisely why Jesus came to die on an old rugged cross. And you need to repent. And maybe you're here and you are covered and smug and self-sufficient. And like the Laodicean church in Revelation, you have need of nothing. Like the Pharisees. I talked about the man last night in Luke chapter number 18 who came. I think I'm not like other men. I don't do this. I don't do that. Never one time asked for anything. Never threw himself on the mercy of God. He strutted before God with the idea of merit. I don't need mercy. I have merit. And Jesus said he went home lost. He came lost and he went home lost. And I'm closing this morning. This simple little story about the lost and found is wonderful to me because it reveals the heart of God for people who are lost. No matter how far and no matter how near. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that he came to preach peace to those who were far off and to those who are near. I want to say without any doubt in my mind that anybody can come to him if you come by faith. Nobody so bad that they cannot be saved. Nobody so good that they need not be saved. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So, Father, we are thankful for the great privilege we have to sequester ourselves away from a busy world, to come in and sing the songs of Zion and be encouraged by warm fellowship. But more than that, to hear a word from you, a word from your word, so that we can be reminded of what we believe, so that we can remember what we believe, so that we can be encouraged in the things that you say in your word. Lord, I pray for that man or that woman or that young person, whoever it might be in this place today, maybe who are thinking that they cannot be saved. I pray that that person sees, Lord, today, that you await to save, no matter how far off. In fact, Lord, you are, by your Spirit, you are in all of your sovereign powers seeking to save that which is lost. Lord, for that person in this place who may be just steeped in their own morality, steeped in their own religious concepts and ideas, but they are lost. They've never come by faith to receive the free gift of salvation purchased at Calvary. I pray, Father, that today that person would see that. And then, Lord, for others who are just rejoicing today and who are basking in your great grace, Lord, help us to rejoice in you. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in you, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Grant that it might be so in Jesus' name. Amen.